Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this morning from Psalm 42. I read verse 5 as text verse for the sermon. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The title of the sermon is, Why Are You Cast Down, My Soul? 3 points of attention. The first, thirsting for God. Second, speaking to your soul. And the third, trusting in God. So the title is, Why Are You Cast Down, My Soul? 3 points, thirsting for God, speaking to your soul, and trusting in God. Congregation, there was a couple, and they were friends with my parents. He was also a farmer, same age, came from the same village where my father came from. They had one daughter, and they had one son. They were somewhat older when they got a son. They were very happy, very thankful, and especially when he grew up and he was really interested in farming. So he went to a college for farming. It was in winter time. One morning it's been freezing for quite some time. So, you know, in the Netherlands, a lot of water, wide ditches, streams, brooks. And he could go from his house to the college by skating. And that's what he decided to do. So he had his backpack with his books and all his stuff for school, and there he went with his skates to go to school. And it all went well, but somewhere was a spot in the ice, and it was frozen, but the layer was not thick enough, was not strong enough. Not sure what it was. I think there was a tree and branches hanging over the water. Maybe that kept it from freezing soon enough and good enough. There might have been ducks in the water that kept it open for a while. Maybe someone had been fishing there. Now there was a layer of ice and you couldn't see that it was a real weak spot. So he was skating there and then the ice broke and he went, because of the speed, he went under the ice. There's no way to come out of it. He died. It was such a blow for this couple. All their hope was gone. Their only son, the one who would take over the farm. And sometimes this couple would visit my parents. And I was quite young. But the father, he was walking like this. He couldn't walk straight. So my parents would say, yeah, there's a problem with his back. And that might be true. But I always wondered if it was the burden of the loss of his son that was so heavy and made him to be bowed down. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? You can also translate, and that's actually what a Dutch translation does, and also says it's in the King James with a note. You can translate it, why art thou bowed down, O my soul? You see that old farmer, how he was bowed down. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? So David, well, we assume it's David. It doesn't say it in this psalm and the next. Those two psalms belong together. They are a unity. You can see the same things are spoken of in this psalm. And we assume these psalms are psalms of David. We recognize David, his way of speaking, his close relation with the Lord. We can see how David wrote those psalms. David, who was persecuted by Saul for a long time, and there was no reason why Saul would do that. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Jonathan, the son of Saul, would ask his father, what did he do? What did he do wrong that you want to kill him? But Saul was in the position of power. He was a king, and the king in those days was the judge. Can you see how hard it was for David? Where could he go? The king had all the power. His life was really at risk. It was only a little thing that had to happen and he would die. If Saul could catch him, he would die. Oh, what a burden it was on David. You can see how he wrote those psalms in this situation. And he's speaking about that he had to be far away from the sanctuary, from the place where the Lord is worshipped. Isn't it special that he isn't talking about his own house, but that he has a deep desire for the house of the Lord, although that's probably a tent in those days. He's remembering how he went there. I went with them to the house of God, there where the tabernacle is, a tent, or a house, where the ark is. We read when David, later on when he is king, takes the ark to bring to Jerusalem, he takes it from a house, a common house. David wants to be there where the Lord is worshipped. He has such a deep desire. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panted my soul after thee, O God. But God is omnipresent, isn't he? So God can be with you, David, even if you had to flee to the north of the country, the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mitzar. That's in the north, mountains. But God can be there. He is the creator of the whole earth. Yes, that is true. But David knew very well, and he knew it by experience, that God usually is using the means. When you go to the house of the Lord, and where you see the sacrifice, where you see the service of God, the worshiping, the service of by the priest, well, that's where the Lord so many times had spoken to his soul, to his heart, where he found comfort for his soul. Oh, he has a deep desire within, like a hart panteth after the water brook. So panted my soul after thee, O God. Do you understand that? That you almost can feel it physically. We all probably have the experience that it can be a sadness in our life, a sorrow, and it hurts. It's almost a physical hurt in your heart. Or that we have an anxiety that can almost squeeze our throat and be like a burden upon us. And so David has a thirst for God. Like your body can be thirsty, that you really need water so that you can live. So his soul is thirsty for God. As the hart, as a deer, panteth after the water brooks, we can see that illustration. There might be some hunters here. And if you hunt a deer, it will try to escape. It will run for its life. So here is a deer. It has been running and it escaped, but now it needs water. And it is like crying out for water. It's so thirsty. Well, that's how David feels. My soul thirsted for God. My soul. David is speaking about his soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? So the soul, say, is our inward life. Sometimes the heart might be used as the word to describe it. We are creatures with a soul, a living soul, different from animals. They don't have a soul like people do. They do have life, yes they do, but they don't have a soul created for eternity. We human beings are created after the image of God. We have something of attributes that God also has in a perfect way. God gave it to man. Man, as in the highest position of creation, with the task of God, man got the ability, the attribute, the gift of knowledge, to know God in a way animals don't and cannot do. The gift of righteousness is given to man, to know the difference between good and evil. Even after the fall, there's something left over in man. And even you see it in Gentiles. They will see there is evil and there is good. And it's darkened. It's like broken by sin, but there are still remains left over that people are aware of the difference between good and evil. And holiness, another attribute, gift of God given to man, created after the image of God, holiness. Holiness means to be set apart, to be for God, that there is an awareness in man that we are created for God. There is a void in man because we have lost that relation with God. And people seek it, and in our days people try to find it in religious things, in religious meditation or whatever. They try to get contact to something or someone higher because there is an awareness we are created for God. We have a soul. We have a soul that will exist forever and ever. And it is created for God. And we have broken that relation. That relation has to be restored in this lifetime on earth by Christ, by the living knowledge of Christ as the Savior of sinners by faith, so that we get to know God, that there is spiritual life in our soul. By nature we have no spiritual life, which means we do not know God. There's no relation anymore. The natural man doesn't understand the things of God. A foolishness to him. But Christ came in this world to bring man back to God, so that our soul in eternity will be with the Lord, to wash sin away, which is separating from God, and to renew our heart, that we will have a new desire, that we will walk with the Lord. There are two destinations, heaven and hell. And heaven is to be with God, to know Christ like he is, and hell is to be without God. That is a punishment of sin. And Christ took it upon him for all those that will flee to him in this life as a poor beggar, acknowledging guilt and sin before God and looking to him for peace with God. David knew that. David knew that work of the Lord. But oh, that is something that has to be renewed. It will be kept by the Lord. But to experience it in its strength, in to experience that comfort and consolation, that's why we need to hear the word, that the words will be powerful in our hearts again, and that there will be that new spiritual life to fight against sin. And if we are not receiving the word, then those things become weaker, because we still live in this world and have that old sinful nature. And this world is providing food for our sinful nature all the time. But God in his word is providing food for that new spiritual life. So that in that conflict that we have, that we will not lay under, that we will not lose, but that we might have victory by Christ against temptation and doubt and sin and fear, to walk with peace. My soul thirsted for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So do we see the privilege that we can go to church? Is there a love in our heart like David has for the service of the Lord? Is the Lord's Day the most joyful day for us? That God is speaking from his word so that we might know him and know him more. My tears have been by me day and night. There is sorrow in the heart of David, not only during the day, but also in the night. Why, David? While they continually say unto me, where is thy God? It's not enough for the enemies of David that they see him in distress. They want to make him feel it. They want to tell him, where is your God? You see, he does not help you. You just imagined, it was just your fantasy that you thought that God would help you. It's like they stab him in his back with a sharp knife. Oh, my soul thirsted for God, for the living God. Can you say that? You understand what it means? And David says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. It's like he says, you know, my soul is like a bucket full of water, and I pour it out. It's empty. There's no strength or life left over in me. When I remember these things, this is what makes it so hard for David. He knows the deep consolation and the comfort of seeing the service of atonement, the sacrifices of redemption, and to see the glory of God in his grace, that he has promised a way of salvation, that there will be a Savior born in this world who would provide salvation and conquer Satan and death and sin. David knew the sweet comfort of communion with God. And now He's far away from the sanctuary. When he is thinking back about how he would go to church together with the people, oh, then it's so hard for him. I pour out my soul in me. Here, he cannot bear this. It's too much. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. I can still see how good it was. Yeah, when you have something, you do not appreciate it so much as when you have lost it, isn't it? I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. It's a habit to go to church. We do it. We're so used to it. We've done it our whole life. But to say that I woke up this morning with a desire in my heart, could you say that? With a prayer in my soul that God would speak, that God would reveal himself to me? Yeah, so was your heart prepared? Don't complain if you leave church without a blessing, when you entered without preparation, without preparing your soul in prayer and meditating upon the needs and the riches of Christ for your heart. My soul thirsted for God, a deep desire to have communion with God. Do you know what that means? Not just to hear the words, but to meet God in his word, to have fellowship with, by faith, with God in Christ, like embracing him. Oh, it's such a wonder that the almighty, eternal, holy, righteous God is coming to man, revealing himself, giving himself in Christ to lift you up to this glorious experience, to be justified, reconciled to God, be accepted as his dear child. Oh, that thirst. David has a deep desire to experience it again, especially now in this situation. We see in this psalm that David is speaking to his soul. Why would he do that? He's speaking to himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? You wonder what the reason is. Is there something wrong with David? Has he been too long in a lonely place that he's speaking to himself? Doesn't make sense, does it? Yes, it does. In this whole situation of deep distress, like he has been describing in those first verses, all of a sudden he starts to talk to his own soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? No, it's not that there's something wrong with him. No, he has a good reason to do that, to speak to your own soul. Let's try to understand this. Why David does it, and why it is good to do it. He's asking his soul a question. So he could say with his mind, he's speaking to his soul, to his heart. We do know that those two are not always at the same spot, are they? We do know that there are things in our mind that we really know, and that we have to complain, I cannot get my heart along. Isn't that true? That you know how it should be in your heart, how the desire of your heart should be, the feeling, the emotion of your soul. But it isn't that way. You might know that you shouldn't be jealous, but you are. You might know that you should not doubt. You do know, but you do doubt. So, do you see how necessary it is that we speak to our soul, that God will speak to our soul. But also when we know the Word of God, there's a reason to speak to our soul, to ask our soul such questions. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why do you bow down? Well, you might say, well, the answer is, of course, the answer is clear. Why are you disquieted in me? Well, of course, I have to flee. My life is in danger. The king is against me, and so the whole nation is against me. And it's so wrong. It's so ungodly. It's not just. It's unjust. It's not right that I do this. It gives me such a pain within, such a sorrow, such a hurt, and it also feels like God has forsaken me. It's not only that I am far away from the sanctuary, but you know, all circumstances seem to tell me that God doesn't think about me. I mean, He was it who called me to be king, who sent Samuel to me to anoint me. And so that gave an expectation in my heart, but it's all the other way around. Life became only hard after this promise of God came to me, after Samuel anointed me. Now Saul is hating me. And what did I do wrong? And does God not see it? God is the all-knowing God, so why does He allow this? Why does it continue year after year? So, is there not a reason to be cast down? David is asking this question. Is there someone here who is cast down in his soul, disquieted in your heart? It's like, you know, there in that mountain area, he can hear the water falling. You probably been to the waterfalls. That noise, it's going on and on. In a certain way, it's beautiful, but on the other side, it's always there. And so that's like an illustration of the restlessness in the heart of David. He doesn't find rest for his heart. He doesn't find security. And there's so many questions he cannot answer. And it gives him such a sorrow. My tears have been my meat day and night. And then that reproach. I can hear people speaking about him and asking him, where is your God? And the outside or the inside, that question is there. Where is God? Why does he not change this situation? Why does he allow this unjust treatment toward me? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Well, the answer is clear. You do see the circumstances, and you might say, well, I really have a reason why I'm cast down. I feel so restless. Yeah. If there's no communion with God, if there's no fellowship with God by faith, there's restlessness in our hearts. That's true. We all have it. Like Augustine said, that our heart is restless till it finds rest in God. And David has lost that experience of rest in God. Are you sitting here full of restlessness? That it is, maybe you say it's a chaos in my heart. It's dark. There's sorrow and there's pain. There's so much that I cannot understand. So many questions I cannot answer. Why? Why? You're sitting here with all the questions. Why? Why, oh God, why? I would like to say, to preach to you, remember, remember the Lord Jesus Christ, He who is more than David, He who was hanging upon the cross and cried that He was thirsty, but also cried that He was forsaken by God. And He asked that great question, why? Why hast thou forsaken me? He is crying because he had thirst, but especially in his soul, because God had forsaken him. So there is a lesson here in this verse. It's not wrong to ask our questions in our prayers. It's not wrong to lay our need, distress, restlessness, and struggle before God. We should certainly not think that we have to keep up before the Lord, as if we do not have the struggle that we have in our heart. That would be foolish. Because God knows the heart. So why would you try? We do it a lot, isn't it? We do it a lot to our fellow people, our people around us. Try to give the impression that we are fine. We usually say that. People ask, how are you doing? I'm doing well. And we hide a lot to man. Maybe it's the desire that we want people to think we are successful, because others seem to be successful. So now we keep each other in that situation, in that spot. Or maybe we do not trust each other. You know, if I tell others what my pain is and my struggle and my fight, my questions and my sorrow, they might talk about it to others behind my back. They might laugh about it. They might find it a nice thing to feel that, you know, I'm in trouble. And that hurts if you discover that. Maybe you did experience it sometimes, and now you're so much hurt, you build a wall around your heart. A wall that you try to protect yourself for man. Yeah, I know, man can be very cruel. Probably all feel it. It should be different. It should be different in a Christian church. We should be to be trusted. That we want to comfort each other with the Word of God. We want to point to Christ, look to Him. He asked the deepest question, and that was because of my sin. He was forsaken by his Father so that you could be received by God and forgiven by the blood of Christ, so that there will be the communion of saints, a unity. Yeah, if you experience that sometimes, that's a wonderful gift of God, that we bear each other's burdens, fulfill the law of Christ. Yeah, so that's grace. That it's no more about me. It's about Christ and His body, His church. So become before God what you are. Poor sinner. So that you will receive what Christ has. Full and free grace. Let us sing Psalter 149, stanza 1 through 6. 149, stanza 1. On God alone my soul relies, and He will soon relieve. 149, stanza 1 through 6. Congregation. So if you try to hide, remember Christ. Did he hide? Hanging up on the cross, made sin for us so that we could be the righteousness of God in him. He was hanging there naked. Shame. What David experiences here, he experienced in a deeper way. Where is thy God? If he is the Son of God, let him come off from the cross. He has saved others, himself he cannot save. He had trusted in God that he would help him. Yeah, trusting in God. That's our third point. That's why David is speaking to his soul. That restlessness to be disquieted in him. Oh, that can only be solved by this medicine of hope in God. That's what he's telling his soul. Hope thou in God. What is hope? Well, hope is what is seen by faith, prepared by God for my soul, for me. Hope thou in God. So in other words, trust the Lord. Trust in God. My soul, why? Why are you cast down in me? Why disquieted in me? As if there is not a God? How wrong it is. You feel like forsaken by God, but you, my soul, are forsaking God and not looking to God. Hope thou in God. You twist the things. God is not forsaking you, but you forsake to look to the Lord and to hope in Him. Oh, it's such a medicine to ask yourself those questions and to point in the right direction. So yes, it is true, David is in trouble. You might be in trouble at this very moment. Well, who is not? This life is full of trouble, full of tears, full of misery. That's because of sin. We shouldn't blame God. So trouble is something that should humble us before God, isn't it? Trouble has the purpose to humble us before God. And when it does discourage us, we should really talk to our soul. And we should really allow the Word to talk to our soul. We should really listen to the Word. Oh, there's such a medicine in this speaking of the Word of God to my soul, to read my Bible, to see David there in such a situation, but not forsaken by God, to see Christ here on earth, but not, yes, he was forsaken, but not forever. He is now in glory. And that's what David is. And that's what all God's children will be. Trust in God. So, you child of God, you know those situations. That your heart is full of fear and anxiety. Or all concerns about your family, maybe about yourself, about society, about the church, and yeah, it's, you cannot even mention everything that is bothering. Maybe in the evening when you want to go to sleep, you cannot sleep. And then speak to your soul. Ask this question, why? Is there really a reason to be cast down? Is there not a living and almighty God? Is there not a God who has given his Son in this world? Is the Word of God not true? You might say, well, Pastor, but you just explained my trouble. Because you told that the mind can know these things, but the heart is not receiving it in a way that it's coming along and is changed and resting in God. I know. But God is using the means. And this is one of the means that you remind yourself about what God has revealed in His Word. It's such a blessing if you have a God-fearing spouse, parents. And in distress, in a situation that you talk about together, in which you cannot change, you might point, you do point each other to God and say, but we have to trust in the Lord. We have to remember that He will never forsake those that trust in Him. No, we should give it in His hands. And that the Lord is blessing that word that you spoke to your spouse, or your spouse to you, or that you read from the Word, or you were reading together, you read together from God's Word. And you don't know how, But it changed your heart. It was God, the Holy Spirit, doing that, using the word. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Well, here you see it, how God is using it, using his word. There is that testimony all of a sudden from David. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. It's written in his word, it's true. Not only that, how many times did the Lord help you? How many times did you pray him and he really helped you in his way and his time? Count your blessings here and now. Count the many times that he spared you, although you deserved his punishment, that he in his patience was forbearing you, and now you're sitting there in full fear, as if God is not able or willing to provide in the need that you are in. Maybe you say, Pastor, yes, the Lord has helped me many times in this life. I'm blessed in so many ways. I've been in deep distress, in need, in great need, and for a long time. But there's another burden. It's the burden of my sin. It's like Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress. He had such a great burden. And it was the burden of his misery and sin and death before a holy God. And he saw that he was in danger, that he was in a place of destruction. He fled. He was fleeing. That's my struggle. Good that you think about that wonderful book of John Bunyan, of the Pilgrim's Progress. Do you remember where he got rid of that burden? It was when he came to the cross. There, that burden fell off from his back. It's Christ who delivered him and his work. And that is so true. And now you're sitting here under that burden. And you really have to ask your soul this question. Why are you bowed down, O my soul? Why do you walk through life like that old farmer, the friend of my father? Or like the woman that we read about in the Gospels that was healed by Christ, who couldn't look up? And he healed her even on the Sabbath day. And that's how you walk through life, with that burden. It's bowing you down. And now, is there not a reason to ask yourself this question? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted in me? Well, the answer is there. It's because of my sin and guilt. Did God not speak in his word? Did he not on every page of the Bible point to the Savior in his sacrifices like shadows in the Old Testament? Christ is seen in the promises, in the prophets, and then the fulfillment in the Gospels and the exposition in the letters of Paul. Does it lack any clarity? Does it lack any power? Is it not clear that this is the truth of God? So, if it makes you discouraged, you really have to talk to your soul. It should humble you at the feet of Christ. It's not that God is to be blamed for the situation. It's you. And that moment that you start to blame yourself, that your heart is breaking before God because of what you, how you are before him, that's the moment. Now there's also room for grace, full and in abundance. that is in Christ, that it might heal your soul. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Sometimes people say, Pastor, how can you pray? How can someone pray for such a long time? At the end, I don't know what to say anymore. How could the Lord Jesus pray a whole night on the mountain? Well, look to this psalm. Does David not repeat himself? Verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Psalm 43, verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? So is that not the experience of God's children in prayer? You know, that when this burden is still there on your heart, you bring it before the Lord again, because you have to be helped, like the Lord Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, and he prayed again, and he prayed again, till an angel came to strengthen him. And then he rose and said, let us go. He was ready to bring him before the Lord. You have to, because my heart needs rest to find peace with God. You cannot stop to bring it before the Lord. And the Lord is using those means. Look what he does in this psalm. Oh, verse 6. Oh God, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember thee from the land of Jordan. I will think about thee. And then he says in verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, my prayer unto the God of my life. It's not that he is feeling it. No, he says in verse 7, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spout. It's that noise is there in my life, that restlessness. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. He feels like sinking. He feels like drowning. It's too much. I cannot take it anymore. And then in verse 8 he says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. So how is this possible? Well, yeah. His feelings are, you know, distress, restlessness, and need. At the same time, here is faith at work. And faith is looking to the revelation of God and seeing that it is true and thinking about the reality even received out of God's revelation. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. So, again, this important lesson. Our feeling cannot be our foundation, but only the word of God that we read and that we hear. And then our soul has to rest in the word, even in the deepest distress, darkness, being depressed and sinking down, even feeling the sharpness of that sword. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Then to look to what God has spoken, and to know, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. This is true. How many times did you experience it, child of God, that God is blessing the means? Even if you didn't feel like reading the word, that you had to take it, that you had to read it, that you had to listen to it, even you had no desire maybe in your heart, and then while you were doing that, and while you were praying and crying out to God, that it did change, that God was using the means, that you went to church even if you had no desire and felt like not going, and that God came by his word and made it clear that this is the truth that he has provided in Christ. Yes, David, you feel like, and maybe you here this morning in church or listening at home, you feel like that all the waves and the billows of misery go over your soul, sins and sorrow. But look to Christ. It's not true. It's not you, but it's Christ. All the waves of the wrath of God went over him. And he was sinking in that darkness, in that deep of the wrath of God, consumed, so that you would be free. And faith is resting in this work of God. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. God is going to change your situation. You're now in distress. You feel depressed and in darkness. Oh, child of God, it will not last forever. It didn't for David. He became the king, the most blessed king, you could say, of Israel. It changed for Joseph, who was in prison, accused, condemned. He became king of Egypt. It changed for Job, who lost everything. He got it back double. It changed for Christ. He resurrected. He ascended. He's in heaven. It changed for all God's children. In this life, or, and certainly, in eternity. And then to see the Lord. And then to praise him. I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, it is so sure. And hell and Satan and death cannot take it away from God's children. I shall yet praise him. And Lord, all things have to work for good. Those that are called according to thy purpose, all things. O Lord, the trouble and sin will humble us before thee, the feet of the cross, and there it will change. Like it did for Pilgrim, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. O Lord, we will need eternity to give thee the glory and the praise forever and ever. Bless, Lord, the Catechism Sunday School adult classes. Lord, we pray, bring us together in thy house this evening to hear thy voice. Forgive our many sins by the blood of Christ. Save our souls, all of us, O Lord. To thy glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.